Welcome to The Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
It's your host of The Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey. I'm here with my co-host, Katie Lyon, our marketing director of Furnished Finder. And if you are watching versus listening, you'll see my background has again changed. Well, guess what? I've only moved over a room. This is one of my guest rooms. We have had two hail claims within the last 3 to 5 years. So I don't know what it is, Katie, but we are just like certain areas are drawn for tornadoes. We are drawn for hail. So we're about to get our second roof in less than 5 years.
Thank God for insurance sometimes, right?
Yes, definitely.
Well, I am still with my same old background, but we are here today with Jake. Jake is in the Houston area, and he has a really cool business approach where he does king beds only. In fact, that's the name of his business, is King Beds Only. And clearly, all of his properties have king beds only. So it's a really cool value proposition. He's also very thoughtful. All of his properties are super close together. So he's really like made this like little tiny town of midterm rentals. And it's really cool to hear how he's not only scaled, but how he furnishes and how he decorates his apartment and how things are going for him. So we hope you enjoy. And please remember to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We would love to hear your comments or questions on YouTube. We're always very careful to go back and check those and make sure that we answer any questions. So please, we appreciate your feedback.
Today we talk with Jake Herzig in Houston, Texas. He has a unique style that rolls off the tongue nicely from a marketing perspective and makes someone feel like they are ready for a luxurious, relaxing stay. His theme and website is kingbedsonly.com. Such a great intro. Jake, how are you today?
Excellent. How are you guys doing?
Very well. We're excited to hear your story. And let's kick it off with, we all know what excellent marketing Jake has by finding and securing kingbedsonly.com. What led you to the concept and how's it going with your model?
The concept really was born when I myself went to a hotel, got the king bed, had a queen bed at home, and I said, this is, how can you live without this? And I was living actually in this apartment at the time, which is a one bed, one bath, and it's 450 square feet. So it's pretty tight, but large enough to have a king size bed. And I knew that those were the smallest apartments that we had. So I knew king beds would fit in every apartment, and just made it part of the process, a staple here at kingbedsonly.com. And it's something that people have come accustomed to. And it's really been great in terms of return customers. They really think of it. And I think a lot of them smile because I don't know what they think of, but they know where they
peace.
Can find.
Yeah, I think exactly. Of peace.
They like that, and we've also paired it with a large TV in the room. Every single one of the bedrooms has a TV, so that's been nice as well.
Sounds so relaxing, because when you think of you probably have set yourself apart in the market that, you know, a lot of people probably only have queen beds. So it's like right there, my parents love king beds, and it would be very hard for them to say yes to a queen bed. And relocating families, I'm assuming, are in the same boat a lot of times, is especially if you're parents that let your kids like sometimes join you or things like that. It's like you need that space to really get a good night's sleep. So it's an incredible concept.
Thanks. Also the incremental cost from a queen to a king is really insignificant when you look at it. It also applies to, basically it makes it seamless across for your cleaners too. So there's just a lot of less moving parts and pieces that they've got to do when it comes to laundry and turnovers. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start off the conversation by talking about your journey to real estate. You've always loved passive income, but you didn't necessarily start on the real estate side of that. So tell us about your journey to real estate and what that looked like.
Sure. It was basically, I started with rental arbitrage in 2016. I'd recently graduated from business school at Rice University, where I became obsessed with entrepreneurship and small business acquisition. My career and background is in the energy industry, and at the time I was working at a startup in West Texas. So I was gone all the time and quickly realized that I could make money by offering a furnished rental to my apartment. And it was a huge success. I did that for about a year and then started subletting the apartment next to mine, and then did that for a couple of years. And where it led to was the eventual acquisition of my first duplex, which was actually a quadplex. That was the first purchase.
That's a big first purchase. How did you have the confidence starting with a quadplex?
It was really based on the data of the one bedroom, one baths. Those were a huge hit. So the sublet really was booked constantly. And that's where I quickly realized that turnover was a huge obstacle to overcome, and that mid to long-term rentals is the way to go. And really, that's how it all started, was looking for that specific demographic for the relocation. So it was a 30-day minimum. And that's what I quickly knew that I could scale, because it was booked constantly.
All right. So walk us through this. You see the potential of having rental properties. You jump all in, you buy this fourplex, and then do you furnish them all right away? Or like, okay. And then they're all, you're booking them as short terms, midterms, or what's kind of your approach at that point? And then are you also still arbitraging or subletting properties at that point?
Great question. The first part is, our goal was always to find midterms, and then basically backfill on short term. So if someone were booking a month in advance and we had vacancy in the short term, then I would usually discount the price and then make the minimum days like a 2 or 3 day rental. Those are hard to do, especially at the beginning, because you just get, the people who stay for 2 to 3 days really care less for your stuff than they would if they're staying for a month, in my opinion, in my experience. So that's the goal, is obviously to find the midterm clients. But the difficult part that we had at the beginning there was the quadplex wasn't in great shape. So that's where I had to develop a relationship with a contractor and or contractors in order to make this thing work. We can talk about the duplex investment strategy here in a little bit. But before I get too far off that, the reason why I do love duplexes is because you can always segment individual apartments, as each of the apartments has its own independent plumbing, AC, and electricity as well. So if one goes down, you can always move stuff around, be able to still make your mortgage payment and do maintenance simultaneously.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com, where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
So you've got the quadplex. We've got all four of those furnished. And then what's next? So now we're up to how many units at this point? Six?
At this point, I had those. So those were the four that I owned. And then I sublet from two other owners.
Okay.
And those went really well. However, the sublet was for a house and a duplex. And the problem with subletting from an owner is that they don't care as much about the quality as you would as the owner. So I quickly learned that I needed to have control of all things when it comes to utilities, Wi-Fi, check-in, cleanings. You just need to be able to basically fix whatever you need to fix without having to go through someone else. And that worked out really well until I just got tired of doing it, until I realized that the margins on ownership were so much higher because you're the owner, you have a mortgage. By nature of that, that's basically the lowest cost you're going to find. Whereas with the rental arbitrage, you still have to pay somebody at least fixed rent or long-term rates, and then you have to come up with the capital for the furnishings. And
yeah.
I thought, man, might as well just own them.
That's a good point. I think those are two things that people don't necessarily always remember when they think about arbitrage, because it is a nice kind of way to get into it.
We have
a bunch of arbitrage ourselves, because for us, it was like, okay, this is a way that we can keep the train moving before we have our next down payment ready. Cause you know, it's sometimes it's hard to come up with that money overnight unless you're a magician or, you know, something like
right.
that, but
lucky,
yeah.
right.
Yeah. but your points of making sure that like your landlord or, you know, the property owner is a good partner and you're on the same page with maintenance and expectations. And then at the same time, you have to know you're going to make a little bit less because there's two people taking profit from that, right? The property owner's taking a profit from you, and then your tenants, you know, clearly you're making a profit from them. But okay, so
it's funny too, because the quality, they just don't understand how high the quality has to be,
right,
in order for you to make money and furnish rentals. And yeah,
right, there's a certain level of control or delegation that you've got to establish right off the bat that I think is really important. Okay, so talk to us about where your prop portfolio was there, and then kind of what was next for you.
So I quickly realized that the rental arbitrage, I needed to roll out of that as more acquisition opportunities came my way. What was really interesting about the new, I didn't even plan on buying multiple duplexes. It just was a matter of opportunity that came my way and being in a good place to be able to buy it. I had really good luck finding my second duplex. It was next door to the quadplex. And a little bit about the neighborhood that it's in, for those of you who don't know a lot about Houston, it's in Montrose, which is a neighborhood that's smack dab in the center of the city. So you have downtown almost a mile away, you have the Galleria almost a mile away, the Heights, the medical center also about a mile or two away. So it's the center of everything. And with Houston being the city the size that it is, it was just, I knew I had to have a duplex in the center of it. I mean, it just makes sense just from a population and demand perspective. So the duplex next to mine came for sale in 2020. I purchased that and immediately started remodeling. That took about 6 months. We came online January of 2021, and then it was July of 2020 that my other neighbor's duplex came for sale as well. So I always had really good relationships with my neighbors, just getting to know them and really putting a bug in the air to say, hey, if you ever get rid of this thing, please call me. I'd be happy to buy it from you. And so they did. It was great. Of the four that I purchased, three of them have been directly from the seller. And the one that wasn't, I just happened to get lucky and got it under contract the day that it came for sale.
So now you're rehabbing these. Are you able to refinance them after to pull some of your equity out? Because I know there's a lot of strategy in that. And I think that's kind of a growing strategy within MTR specifically.
There are three things that we really got lucky on to be able to grow this thing. The first was the appreciation that took place from the purchase of the quad. Despite having to put on a new roof, four new air conditioners, four hot water heaters, remodeling basically the whole thing from top to bottom, both duplexes, it was totally worth it. The appreciation in just 2 years made up for that.
That's awesome.
The equity that I had it after the purchase of the third one was enough to buy the fourth one without having to have cash out of pocket, which was huge. So what led to, I'll back up a little bit, what led to the acquisition of the third was, again, the equity that I had in the first and the second. COVID hit, and the SBA loan that you can apply for had very advantageous terms. So it just made sense to apply for that, which gave me enough cash essentially to be able to run it, because I had enough equity to purchase it without having to come out of pocket. But still, the remodel and just runway cash is so important. So that's what that came in handy for.
That's awesome. So you're really here taking advantage of different situations that are, and thinking strategically through each step of this, right? Not getting too far ahead of yourself, but saying, okay, I've got equity here. I've got an opportunity for a good loan here. I've got a good relationship here, which I think is very important, right? To take it one step at a time, but always have your eyes open to, okay, not can I do it, but like, how can I do it, right?
Yeah. What tools are at my disposal in order to make this vision become reality? So the three things that really led to our ability to grow was capital. So capital came from the equity of each purchase. And because each property is contiguous, that adds some incremental value. It may not translate directly on paper, but when you're dealing with a bank, it definitely helps move your deal along, especially with when it's a commercial bank, when they see that you have size, right? That's what gets their attention. So equity and obviously having good banks and financing. COVID and the SBA loan helped. And finally, we applied for mortgage forbearance during COVID as well, which was kind of a third boost in capital. So those three things have led to really the natural progression of an acquisition of a duplex almost every year since 2018.
Okay, that's great. So I'm still stuck on, I love the fact you can tell that you're very knowledgeable on a variety of topics. I still love the fact that you jump straight in on a fourplex. I think, did you also jump straight in and go directly to the midterm rental strategy as well? And if yes, then what was the data looking like that led you to that decision?
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
At the time, mind you, this is 2016 and 2017, there wasn't as much oversight in terms of a lot of things. One was like quality. Two was guests filtering. I don't know really how to put that, but it was just like, and then three was, there was really no, the host essentially had to take the brunt of all the damages. Like, they were never going to reprimand the guest at this time. And I kept seeing my apartments just get trashed with these weekend stays. Oh. And I was like, the juice is not worth the squeeze. And I kept seeing that, holy moly, this demographic continues to reoccur, which is small families and or couples, corporate couples, or single corporate people who are relocating to or from Houston, either buying a house, selling a house, remodeling, or here for business. The other business slash medical, because we have the medical district. So of those three things, I kept seeing that, and you got to be pet friendly, at least these people want at least 30 days with flexible terms. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can meet that, because I didn't see anyone really meeting that demand in the area.
What do your flexible terms look like?
Flexible terms means that for every deal that I do, we do a lease agreement. And although the words are written there, if you want to extend, we can certainly do that. You know, it's just, you're dealing with me and the flexibility on what you need. It's basically, midterm's the way to go, because short term comes with turnovers and damage to the property. Whereas on the midterm, and it's easier to collect a deposit with the midterm. That's why I'm not ever worried, because also this demographic is really great, because it's when they need it, they need it. So the demand is inelastic, right? Especially when it comes to pets. And they're like, oh my God, I found you. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it is. It's much less of a selling process, right? It's all about finding the right connection. And that's what Kelly and I tell people about on Furnish Finder all the time. It's like, show your best self with your listings and your profile, but then, you know, you need to find that connection. But once you do, it's really like, okay, this works for you. This works for me. You don't have to have a whole pitch to sell. You're just trying to find the right match for you, because these people do have really strong needs. One of our last tenants was a family that they wanted to buy a new house, but with the current interest rates, they decided to remodel their house instead. Super smart. But they needed out of their house for like 2 to 3 months. They needed somewhere still close to school. They needed somewhere grandma could come visit. You know, it was okay that our place was a little smaller than they were used to, but they were so thankful. So it really is, you're filling needs, versus a lot of times with short-term rentals, you're fulfilling want lists. Right. Like, if I'm going to go on vacation, I'm like, well, I want X, Y, and Z, and I don't want to pay for any of it. So it is, it's a different framework, and it is so much more about really just helping these people feel comfortable and settled in. So
before we get too far away, Katie, I want to circle back to the flex terms, because I think what Jake is saying is very similar to how you and I do it, Katie. So I think this is a good roundtable discussion for people to help understand a flexible terms a little bit better. So for me, what flexible terms looks like is I have the conversation with them and say, hey, when do you expect your house to be ready? Things like that. And, you know, is this a 90-day contract if it's a travel nurse? And then I always build into my communication that you will always have the first right of refusal. So what that means is, if you are expecting to be here for 3 months, then I'm going to go ahead and put that availability date on Furnish Finder for 90 days out. But if someone says, hey, I'm interested, I'm always going to circle back with you first and give you that first opportunity to say, yes, I do need to extend it further, or no, we'll be good to go by then. And typically, I like to give them up to 30 days prior to whatever they think their expected move-out date is. So for a lease, what that looks like for our leases is I communicate, what do you know you need for sure? And if they say 3 months or 6 months, then that's the lease that we set up. And then it automatically is built into the lease for it to be month to month after that, so that they're comfortable and don't have to get kicked out. And I'll always communicate with them first, that first right of refusal. What about you, Katie?
Very similar. I always have an end date to the lease, and I tell them, I'll give them the first right of refusal. But typically what I do is about 30 days before their lease comes up, I kind of give them the speak now or forever hold your peace type of conversation. And it's not as harsh as it sounds. I definitely do give them the option, like, okay, if you don't know, that's okay, I'll keep in touch. Right. And if someone is interested, I'll circle back with you first. But oftentimes 30 days out, they know, right? And they'll be like, nope, I'm anxious to get home, or I got a different offer at a different hospital, or my house is ready. So oftentimes they know at 30 days out. So I'll just put a little calendar reminder to check in with them. But I do, it's always easier to keep a tenant in the place than to find turn it over, even if it's a one day turnover or something. But yeah.
Totally agree.
Yep.
I'm probably somewhere in the middle between you guys.
Nice.
On harshness. I definitely like
on harshness. Tell us more. Because it's whatever works harshness for you, right?
Yeah, it's more like I don't know. I don't really sugarcoat it. I'm like, hey, you told me this date. Is that still firm?
Right.
Yes or no. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Some people like direct communication.
But if they hesitate, they're like, when do you need to know? I'm like, today, tomorrow. You know, like, I'm still trying to make money here. You know, demand is there. It's not like, it just needs, you need to tell me because this is your courtesy call.
Right. Yeah. And I think you said that because you've got, I think it's 10 doors all within one area for the most part, that you do have flexibility where if that person does get extended and they said no, then you can potentially move them to one of your other units if they still needed to stay longer.
That's what gets me so excited about this business is just the ability to optimize. If there's any demand, I can usually make it work unless I'm just fully booked. I'll move stuff around for people all the time to make it happen. You mentioned grandma's in town. It's like, we got the 1-1 right here. We got 2 1-1s, right? We have a variety of others that she can choose from if it's a fit. And it usually is, which is nice. So we've gotten so many clients from just recommendations because the compound provides parking. It's secure. And you can basically see the setup. I wish I could take you guys around. It's right out here. Mm-hmm.
This makes me think of a situation we had recently, Kelly, that I don't think I've even told you about. We had, this happened twice right in a row where we had someone wanting to move into one of our studio apartments it's right by the hospital. It's like the most perfect location ever. And they weren't available for like a week or like 10 days. And they couldn't find a hotel that they liked in the area. This is an area with kind of fewer hotels. And I just happened to have a vacancy, which was my first vacancy ever, at a studio about 20 miles the other direction. So not convenient where they want to stay there full time. But I was like, hey, why don't you stay a week here? And then as soon as this person's out, I can put you in. And I did it twice and it worked so well. It was, you know, a little bit logistically challenging because one cleaning turned into two cleanings, but
they felt
so appreciative because they had a nice place to stay. You know, their commute was longer and then I got, you know, I filled it, right? Yep. So not only did I get next day bookings with the apartments close to the hospitals, but this one over here that was sitting empty for the first time, all of a sudden I had people in it. So I was like, this is a win all around. So it does, it gives you the, you know, you can kind of mold things a little bit and be like, okay, how can I finagle this situation and make it work? All right, Jake, let's talk about your design because your properties are so pretty. They're so pretty and they're welcoming and clean and they're bright and they're, you know, it's one of those properties where you can tell from the pictures that you put a lot of effort into them. So tell us kind of, you know, when you're looking at a blank slate, how do you decide how you're going to furnish it? Do you have help? What's your process there?
Great question. I do have help. It's the same crew that helps me with maintenance. They've done all the remodeling for all four of these properties. They also have basically assembled all the furniture that I needed. I want to give a shout out to them. It's Maya Houston Interiors. You can reach out to me for their number, but these guys have been the cornerstone of our success. And I just want to give a shout out to them for sure. But yeah, I call them and I always, so what we do, what we have seven of is 2 bedroom, 1 bath. And they're all about 1,100 square feet. 2 bedrooms, and then there is a bathroom that's shared between the two, and then a large living room, dining room area, and then a kitchen is on the side. They're a perfect square, top and bottom. So when I'm looking at how the layout goes, it's really, we hired an interior designer for the first one, and then just got on Wayfair and Amazon and all the other furniture stores and just rinse and repeat for sort of the layout. It's very simple. If you go and look at all the pictures, you can see it's a staple. It's a couch. You've got your sort of footstool table right there, 65 to 75 inch screen TV. A big piece of that on the brightness is I ask all of our photo editors to add typically what I like is a green and blue photo of a landscape, because whenever you go to brighten or adjust the contrast, it really makes the room pop. So it's just one extra very small thing that you can do to make your property stand out.
Don't miss that, people, when you're taking your professional photos.
Pro tip.
He just gave you some great tips for your TV.
Yeah, they've done that on our properties as well, and it makes a big difference.
It's a huge difference. Despite what you may think, it's totally worth the effort.
Why don't you repeat it so people didn't miss it? It's great. You asked them to pick a green and blue background. Like, is it like a landscape picture of like a beach island or something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. It's something that it can be like the forest with a blue sky. Also, another pro tip for photos is cancel the meeting if it's not sunny outside. Like, basically, a perfect situation is you have about 30% giant cumulonimbus clouds where you can still see a lot of blue sky, but you want the contrast to the white. You want the natural light to bleed in, so you can always pull that back. Like, you just want more light than not, especially when it comes to natural versus artificial.
Now, for our perfectionists listening, don't let that stop you from getting your professional photos.
It shouldn't, but you should go ahead and reschedule for another date because you're going to want the sunny
if
pictures.
You have time. If not, go ahead and take them and do it again.
100% agree. Yeah, don't let it keep you from making money, for sure.
All right. So, Jake, Kelly has said that you have a warehouse of supplies, which has to be super convenient because you're kind of on your own little campus here. Like, you've kind of created your own little miniature town, if you will. So tell us a little bit of like what things you keep extra of, what you stock in the apartments for your cleaners, because a lot of times our landlords have very like, you know, logistical small questions like that. And then I kind of want Kelly to answer the same question because I know there's probably things that we each manage or add differently.
Yeah. Can I adjust the camera and show you real quick?
Yeah.
It's right here. Yeah, this is great.
My warehouse is called my mom's garage. And it is packed full.
Jake, make sure you explain it really well while you're talking about it.
Absolutely.
Because for those that are audio listeners, not visual.
You can see? Okay.
Uh-huh.
How does that look there?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, we can start real quick. You've got to have, this is my setup here. You've got to have a backup desks. Basically, if you're going to have any guests that need to work, that's really what that's for.
Okay.
Printer, we have our own Ethernet switch, which is right here, plus its own router, which is always huge. We probably need to talk about Wi-Fi because that's a really big deal when it comes to short-term rentals. You can't make money without Wi-Fi. The battery daddy, tons of batteries that keeps them all organized. And then here behind the whiteboard, you can't see it, is a stack of filters. Filters need to be changed.
Lift up the camera just a bit.
Oh, sorry. You see that?
There we go. It looks like you've been able to sum up most of your inventory into about 2 to 3 shelves.
Exactly. That's the whole point is this, is that we have a very specific list of things that you need to have duplicates of. And then I just keep the bare minimum of the inventory, but you have to have it.
That's awesome. Kelly, what about you? Is there anything you keep in inventory or what kinds of multiples of supplies do you have in units?
I would say don't follow what I do because I am an overachiever. So I have way too much stuff in my garage and it looks very cluttered. So I have about 4 bins that I take with me if it's my day to do a cleaning. And Dave only takes about 2. And I happen to choose bins that are too heavy for me to carry. So it limits me to being, self-sufficient. I have to ask Dave for help. And the main reason we do that is, of course, we have a cleaner. Of course, we've set it up as best as we can for the cleaners to take care of all that. But it just doesn't seem like a cleaner understands the full spectrum of what is needed for a stay. So it's always good for Dave and I to either have our eyes on the property after a cleaning. I try to go, I'll take my computer and just work while they're cleaning. And when they tell me, hey, I finished this room, great, let me go check that room. I'll point out anything that's out of place. And then, try to keep that flow throughout. Things that I just haven't found that cleaners do well is like where to reorganize everything in the shelves. And that's probably me not labeling everything properly. So if you're really good at organization and labeling, then you probably don't need to do it yourself. You can build a, like Brandi Jones, episode 3, she's got an awesome system where she's got it all in a photo book, and they just, the cleaners, and then she's got 2 employees that are her flip day specialists, and they come in and they make everything, make sure everything's good to go. So that's the way to do it. So for me, where Dave and I have settled is he's an excellent host, but not as much of as a perfectionist as I am. So we have Dave go on the flip days because he's going to take care of it. It's going to be successful. They're going to have a 5-star review. We're not going to get any follow-up calls saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? He'll make sure everything's in place, but it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be like 95%. And that's great for most people. Perfectionism holds you back. So that's where we've settled.
Love it. Well, we have, since I'm out of state and all my midterm rentals, I cannot get to easily or quickly. My family can, but they all have full-time jobs as well. So we try to make this kind of as hands-off as possible. In our properties that we have some sort of a closet that we can lock, we do that. We try to make it a keypad lock so we can just give the cleaner the number to open the door. Otherwise, we go a little basic and we have a tote and we label it owner's tote and we'll put it high up in the closet or under the sink. It doesn't fit under the sink, but somewhere kind of tucked away. And inside of it, I have a laminated checklist with like, here's all the things I want you to refill. Because the cleaners know how to clean. I'm not trying to micromanage them with that. But they might not remember, hey, I would love for you to leave 3 laundry pods out or 2 rolls of toilet paper per bathroom. So I have like a laminated checklist. And then in that tote is a giant thing of laundry pods and a giant thing of dish pods and extra paper towels and extra trash bags, all those things that we refill and some extra cleaning supplies. Now, in theory, I could have a tenant that decides, hey, this looks like fun stuff. I am going to use it all. But I've never had that happen. People are pretty respectful. And I think, you know, people know the drill that they're not the only ones that will stay there. So, so far that's worked for us. We'll probably change it in the future as we continue to grow. But, you know, it's tricky when you're trying to make sure everything aligns and you're not there or you don't want to be there. It's not the most efficient use of your time to be there. So,
right.
I think the point is everyone here, we all have different ways of doing it, but it's what works for you, right? What works for you and your situation and your properties. So there's no right way. Just figure out a way.
I'm actually promoting my cleaning lady to property manager because she is everything the check-in specialist. That's awesome. No, she's just awesome. And I'm going to convince her to hire cleaners to, she doesn't need me cleaning anymore.
That's
managing.
Amazing.
Love that's it. Really, yeah, the way you need to do it. And I love that you're going that route. Okay, we're down to our last 5 questions. We've got, this is going to be minute to win it advice from Jake. And we've got 5 questions for you that you wanted to make sure everyone got from you. Start small. And if you like it, keep going. What do you want to say about that?
100%. I mean, if you want to fit, if you're going to start something, you know that there's a high likelihood you're going to fail. So you just want to be able to fail quick, roll out of it, be done, move on to the next thing. Especially if you don't like it, you got to live it if you're going to be good at it. And it can get painful if you don't really like it. So especially when it comes to just basically feedback from customers, if it's repeated negative feedback, I mean, no one wants to hear that. So it really motivates you to be proactive and make sure, as everything you mentioned, have everything ready to go. You know, you want it to be 95%+, 90 really. As long as the Wi-Fi and AC works, you're probably going to be in good shape.
And good beds, good couches, all that kind of stuff. Hey, so how have you failed when you started out to kind of encourage others? And what we haven't talked about, and we don't have to land here, but maybe it ties into one of your fail moments is 1920s and 1930s, I think, is when your duplexes and quadplexes were built.
Right. Good question. early 1940s. They were all built almost at the exact same time. With that comes really good bones and structure. It's pier and beam. However, everything else obviously needs to be replaced. So not only ensuring that the underlying infrastructure is sound and in good shape, the sort of like amenities and furnishings and lighter things also have to be perfect. But you can't really have the lighter things work if the underlying structure doesn't work. So it's really being able to have the budget to be able to proactively make sure all your stuff's functioning. Because the worst thing is you lose a renter. Not only do you lose cash flow, but then you're coming out of pocket to pay somebody. So it's a double whammy on your P&L, and it can be painful, especially if you're starting off and you have a small balance sheet.
Next advice that you have, or I guess topic for advice, is the market has gotten quite competitive. So tell us your quick thoughts on that and what people need to make sure that they are thinking of.
I would say that responsiveness to customers is probably number one for me. Getting people the information they need to make a decision, right? Like at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is get the guest's money into our pocket, right? So number one is make sure that they have the information that they need. If they're not booking through a platform, or if they're booking through you directly, you obviously want to establish some ethos with them, especially if they're not coming word of mouth. So just being eloquent in the way that you speak to them and approach them is a huge, huge factor in getting people to more or less buy what you're selling. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think the key that I took from that, at least, was in a competitive market, you know, be on your game.
Be on your game.
Yeah.
Everything has to be clean. I mean, it's like, it's literally, it's close to perfection. I hate that because I don't want that. But that's kind of actually, in a weird way, why I'm drawn to this is because it is difficult to do. Like having everything lined up, I would say that's probably the biggest piece in being competitive, is that make sure that everything is perfect upon check-in. Because if I usually use a three-strike rule, like if two things are broken, they're going to be okay with it. Three things, they're out of there. So you can usually get away with one or two. Three is, it's no go. So if they, variety of things, but they'll find somewhere else, and that's their money going somewhere else. And that's just another person you have to go find to make your note. So.
Well, you did really good. You combined a few of those into one answer. So we're down to our last one.
Okay.
Which is, and I kind of added this one for you. Furnish Finder is a great tool. What would you like to say about that?
It is, because when someone has a direct booking request through Furnish Finder, you know they're serious. And that's the biggest part of the game, is getting people to come in to the ecosystem here. So basically tenant leads and the ability to organize tenant leads and turn those into renters.
For sure. Definitely.
The demographic with traveling nurses is also really nice, because we, with the majority of our inventory being 2-bed, 1-bath, that's a perfect fit, usually one, maybe two nurses. And a lot of times they enjoy splitting the bill. It's a shared bathroom, but it's also a great fit for couples traveling with pets as well.
For sure. Okay, I think I want to wrap us up with one final question. In a market like today, everyone's talking about it's important to have an exit strategy, right? Like when you go into buying a new form of real estate, you want to have a couple different options of what you can do with that. So midterm rentals is your focus. What's your exit strategy?
Great question. I'm hoping that an investor will come in and like one of two things. He'll like the fact that the properties are contiguous. So you're buying almost 20,000 square feet, whether or not they want to keep the duplexes. It's also marketable as a sale based on cash flow. So this year has been a really good year for us. I think inflation finally set in to a level where it's reflected in short-term/midterm rental prices. I've been increasing the price steadily over the last year and haven't lost any business. So I think that's a combination of one, demand, and two, our ability to respond to customers' requests and inquiries to make sure that they get what they need.
Definitely. Katie, anything to wrap us up?
No, I think this has been great. And I think you've shown everyone a very kind of creative, but also strategic way that you can grow a portfolio, and also that you can quite literally do it in your backyard if that works for you. But I love and appreciate your focus on quality and keeping things simplistic and just focusing on making everything amazing, but no more complicated than it needs to be. I think that's something that everyone can take something from. And I think it's so cool how you have gotten to grow and scale and make your own little miniature city.
Thanks.
City.
I really appreciate it.
Let me know when you get your own zip code, because that would be cool.
Okay.
So we're going to wrap up this episode with a reminder, kingbedsonly.com. If you want to connect with Jake, I'm giving a shout out to my fellow stander. High five. We're going to air it. Boop. We've both been rocking the stand up desk today. And if you want to check out Jake's listings on Furnish Finder, then always you can go to the show notes on audio or video platforms, YouTube podcasts, or YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify are apparently what you guys enjoy most for your podcast. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again next week. Have a great day, Jake, and we appreciate you coming with us today.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Katie.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.